sum of £5 for her attempted felony, and then scolded roundly for having wasted the magistrate's time. All this was running through Gascoigne's mind as he stood in the Gridiron Hotel with Anna Wetherill clasped against his chest, tracing the eyelets of her corset up her back. He had held Agathe in this way, exactly in this way, exactly so, with one hand splayed beneath her shoulder blade, the other cupping the ball of her shoulder, Agathe with her forearms against his chest, always, having raised her arms to shield herself at the moment of enclosure. How strange that he recalled her now. One could know 1,000 women, Gascoigne thought. One could take a different girl every night for years and years. But sooner or later, the new lovers would do little more than call to mind the old, and one would be forced to wander, lost, in that reflective maze of endless comparison, forever disappointed, forever turning back. Anna was still trembling from the shock of the misfire. Gascoigne waited until her breathing was steady, some 3 or 4 minutes after Pritchard's tread retreated down the stairs, and then at last, when he felt her body regain some of its strength, he murmured, "What on earth got into you?" But Anna only shook her head, burrowing against him. "Was it a blank? A false cartridge?" She shook her head again. "Perhaps you and the chemist. Perhaps you devised something together." That roused her. She pushed away from him with the heels of her hands and said in a voice full of disgust, "With Pritchard?" It pleased Gascoigne to see her brighten even in anger. "Well then, what was he wanting you for?" he said. Anna almost told him the truth, but felt a sudden shame. Gascoigne had been so kind to her this past fortnight, and she could not bear to tell him where the opium had gone. Just yesterday he had expressed happiness that she had ended her enslavement to the pipe. He had marvelled at her strength, and praised the clearness of her eyes, and admired her. She had not had the heart to disabuse him then, and she did not now. "Old Joe Pritchard," she said, looking away. "He was lonely, that was all." Gascoigne pulled out his cigarette case, and found that he was trembling too. "Have you any brandy left?" he said. "I would like to sit a moment, if you don't mind. I need to gather myself." He laid the spent pistol carefully on the whatnot beside Anna's bed. "Things keep happening to you," he said. "Things you can't explain. Things nobody seems to be able to explain. I'm not sure..." But he trailed off. Anna went to the armoire to fetch the brandy, and Gascoigne sat down upon the bed to light his cigarette. And just for a moment, they were fixed in a tableau, the kind rendered on a plate and sold at a fair as an historical impression. He, with his wrists on his knees, his head bowed, his cigarette dangling from his knuckles. She, with her hand on her hip, her weight upon one leg, pouring him a measure. But they were not lovers, and it was not their room. Gascoigne took another deep draught of his cigarette and closed his eyes. Meaning to cheer him, Anna said, "I am very much looking forward to my surprise, Mr. Gascoigne." For she had not lied to Joseph Pritchard when she informed him she had an appointment, going with a lady to look at hats. Gascoigne had arranged a private consultation with a lady of fashion. Apparently he had paid for the consultation himself, though he had insisted that the details of the arrangement and the identity of the lady remain a surprise. Anna had never been asked to wait for a surprise before, and the prospect had filled her with both elation and dread. She had thanked the Frenchman very prettily, however, for his consideration. When Gascoigne did not respond, Anna tried to press him further. "Is your woman downstairs waiting?" Gascoigne emerged from his reverie at last. He sighed. "No, I am to fetch you and bring you to her. She's in the private parlour at the Wayfarer. But she can wait 10 minutes. She has waited 10 minutes already." He passed a hand over his face. "Your hats can wait." "What are you not sure of?"
"What?"
"You just said, 'I'm not sure,' but you didn't finish your sentence."
They had adopted an easy tone with one another this past fortnight, as so often happens after a shared ordeal, though Anna still called him Mr. Gascoigne, and never Aubert. Gascoigne had not pressed her to use the more informal designation, for he rather liked shows of propriety, and it flattered him to hear his family name pronounced.
"I'm not sure what to make of it," Gascoigne said at last.
He took the glass from her, but did not drink. All of a sudden he felt extraordinarily sad. Aubert Gascoigne felt the pressure of anxiety rather more acutely than other men. When he was made anxious, as he had been by the inexplicable misfire of Anna's pistol, he tended to give himself over to bursts of powerful emotion—shock, despair, anger, sorrow—emotions which he seized upon because they channeled his anxiety outward, and in a sense regulated the pressure that he felt within. He had earned a reputation for being strong and level-headed at a time of crisis, as he had been that afternoon, but he tended to unravel after the crisis had been weathered or forestalled. He was still trembling, an agitated motion that had only started when he released the whore from their embrace.
"There's something I need to speak with you about," Anna said now.
Gascoigne rolled his brandy around his glass.
"Yes."
Anna returned to the armoire and poured herself a measure also.
"I'm late on my rent. I owe 3 months. Edgar gave me notice this morning."
Abruptly she stopped speaking, turned and peered at him. Gascoigne had been taking a draught of his cigarette. He paused at the end of the intake, his chest expanded, and made a gesture with his hands to ask how much.
"It's 10 shillings a week, with meals, and a bath every Sunday," Anna said.
Gascoigne exhaled.
"Over 3 months, that's, I don't know, £6. 3 months," Gascoigne echoed. "I was set back by that fine," said Anna. £5 to the magistrate. That was a month of wages for me. It cleaned me out."
She waited.
"Surely the whoremonger pays your rent," Gascoigne said.
"No," Anna said.